time to join the American family Robinson again in Centerville. Gus Olson has received his Irish inheritance of $2,812,309.04 because his middle name happens to be Collins, and also because lawyer Lemuel B. Flotsam absent-mindedly turned honest and handed Gus the money. But instead of rejoicing, Gus is sad, feeling that he has been hornswoggled into marrying Letitia Timmons. Also worrying him is the horde of salesmen and others who are pestering him with schemes to separate him from his money. In desperation, Gus appealed to editor Luke Robinson for advice, but got scant comfort when the latter told him to marry Letitia and enter upon a new life. In the meantime, Dick Collins languishes in jail, a victim of misplaced confidence in Windy Bill's phony stock-selling scheme, through which Windy persuaded many people to invest in a vast real estate project which was to blossom forth as the vast Lord Collins estate. As our program opens today, Windy Bill Winkle, who has sneaked into town with a false beard because he's still wanted by the police, is attempting the peculiar maneuver of sneaking into jail in order to interview Dick about a matter of great importance to Windy. Detective Grogan, who is chaperoning Windy down the corridor to Dick's cell, is somewhat suspicious.
Here you are, mister. That's his cell right over there.
Well, thank you, my good man. Shall I disturb him? He seems to be asleep.
Nah, he's only thinking. He has to do a lot of thinking about his problems. Hey, Mr. Collins, there's a guy here to see you.
Huh? Oh, hello, Grogan. Did you say somebody was...
This fella here, he says he knows you. Is that right?
Let me get a better look at him. Oh, sure, I'd know him anywhere. His figure certainly seems familiar.
That's right. Allison Sim to Seattle, that's me. You got a great memory, all right, haven't you, Dick? Dick, don't give me away.
Well, if you know him, it's okay, but I just want to be careful not to let no salesman in here.
Windy, where did you come from?
Oh, quiet, for Pete's sake.
Yeah,
quiet.
I know, but what are you wearing that beard for? And anyway, I thought you were in New York or someplace.
Well, I have to wear it. If I didn't, they'd put me in jail.
You are in jail.
Yes, but I'm on this side of the bars, and I'm here incognito. It makes all the difference in the world, you know.
Maybe it does. I don't know. Well, what's on your mind?
Well, I came back to town because I read all about Gus Olson's inheritance. I suppose we'll have to call him Sir Gus now, or Lord Olson. Oh, that's a fine thing, isn't it? Dick, old boy, I've done a lot of pondering over this situation, and I've come to the conclusion that we've been cheated. We've been done dirt by.
I should think at least you'd enjoy the novelty of being the one who's been cheated instead of the one who did the cheating. No offense meant, of course. Never mind, let it go. Not, of course, that I agree with your idea that we've been cheated. Just how do you figure that?
But can't you see, Dick? We've been framed. We were scheduled to get that inheritance.
You mean I was scheduled to get it? Just how do you figure you were gypped?
Well, I was your manager, wasn't I? Didn't I persuade you to go to Chicago to see Flotsam in the first place? Didn't I arrange the whole thing?
Well, it doesn't seem to me that there's much use arguing about whether you were gypped or not. Just suppose you were, what of it?
Well, I'll tell you what of it. There's been dirty work at the crossroads, Dick. And I think that Gus Olson and Flotsam have deliberately rooked us out of our rightful inheritance.
Oh, nonsense. It isn't Gus's fault if he was born the right kind of a Collins or that I'm the wrong kind.
Well, that's no way to look at it, Dick. It's Gus's fault you're in jail and that I'm a fugitive from justice. And I tell you that Gus has got to make things right to get you out of here.
I don't know whether I want to get out of here. I can do my writing here. It's not noisy. No responsibilities. You know, I'm getting fond of this little cell.
The thing to do, Dick, is to get Gus to take over the Collins estate so we can get on our feet again and remove this stigma.
All right, you get him to do it. You're good at getting people to do things that they regret afterwards.
Well, to tell you the truth, the situation between Gus and me is just a little bit delicate on account of Letitia, you know. Now, I thought you might appeal to him. He's a soft-hearted yap.
He may be soft-hearted, but he's no yap. Especially if he, as you say, schemed with Flotsam to rook us out of the inheritance money.
Now, here you are, a young man with a fine future. Your poor little wife waiting at the very gates of the jail.
Yeah, that's what you think. Why, she's so sore at me for being inconsiderate enough to get myself sent to jail but she's renounced me forever.
But I can't believe that Betty would hold a mere matter of going to jail against you. Why, jail is nothing. I've often been in jail.
Yeah, I don't doubt it.
That is purely as a result of some slight misunderstanding, of course. Everything's always been straightened out.
Well, they're not straightened out with me as far as Betty's concerned. She and I are all washed up, and I might just as well stay here as any place else.
Well, that's great, Dick. If your wife had deserted you, why, that makes you all the more pitiable a figure. Gus will fall for that. Why, he's a sucker for tearjerker stuff. And anyway, Dick, the investment in the Lord Collins estate is perfectly sound. The only trouble with it was we didn't have any capital in order to start developing the estates in order to give the investors at least a run for their money.
You mean we didn't have any capital after you ran away with it? And by the way, what did you do with all that money?
I give you my word, I used all of it. That is, practically all of it. To pay the expenses of the improvements around the Robinson household. You know, the butler, the maids, the game room, the dogs, all that sort of stuff.
Yeah, I know. But how about the rest of that dough?
Oh, well, you know, I took that little trip to New York to sort of get a change of scene. Doctor said I was run down, and, I made a few investments in some things here and there. Money's perfectly safe. Very sound investments. Get it all back one of these days.
You mean during this century?
Oh, now, come, Dick. Don't carp. Just let's concentrate on our present problems. Gus Olson is a rich man, and we've got a perfectly good investment for him.
Sure, but maybe he's like a lot of men who are holding back from making investments just at this time.
Well, if he feels like that, you can just tell him to his face, for me, that he's holding back prosperity. He's downright unpatriotic.
As long as you've mentioned the subject, I'd like to point out something that you and others like you seem to overlook when you accuse businessmen of deliberately delaying prosperity by not making investments.
Poo-poo, Dick. Don't try to tell me anything about investments. Why, I've been a financial man all my life.
That may be, but I'd like to point out that there are a lot of things today that discourage businessmen and others from making investments that not so many years ago they might have made. Now, you take a man like Robert Fulton, for instance. If today he came to a successful businessman with a good annual income who had saved money for investment purposes, and Fulton said, "If you put up $200,000 to build a boat I've invented, I believe I can make $100,000 a year, and I'll give you half of what I earn." Now, that'd appear to be pretty good, wouldn't it?
Not bad. Not bad. Now, if I was Robert Fulton, I'd have taken that $200,000...
And go to the South Seas, I know, but that isn't the point, Windy. Let's just suppose that the rich man gave Robert Fulton the $200,000, and Fulton's boat performed according to expectations. The rich man's share would be $50,000, wouldn't it?
Just think, $50,000.
That's right, because $50,000 is the one half of the $100,000 that Fulton said he'd earn. But the fact of the matter is, and I wish you'd pay some attention to this, Windy, because it explains why conditions today tend to discourage people from investing their money. The fact is that today Fulton's backer, out of his $50,000 return on his investment, might have to pay the government, depending, of course, on what his other income was, as much as one half of the proceeds from his steamboat venture.
You don't say. Why, Dick, that's incredible. It's fantastic.
Well, that may be, but it's true. They got it fixed up so that the investor is likely to get a mighty small return on his money for the gamble he took of losing $200,000. If Fulton's boat was a complete flop, he'd be out the money. That willingness to risk savings with the hope of a profit built this country. Take it away, and, well, you've robbed us of our initiative.
Well, sir, I certainly never looked at it that way before.
You'd better look at it that way now, especially if you're going to continue making it a practice of offering tempting investments to people.
Oh, this is very depressing to me. Oh, Dick, here comes this Grogan fellow again. Oh, he makes me very uneasy.
Oh, don't bother about him. He's only a detective. But you'd better pull up the rubber band on that beard.
Hey, Mr. Collins. I just went over to the drugstore and I brought back a soda for you.
Thanks a lot, Grogan. I appreciate that.
Ah, it's nothing. Here, be careful, though. It's leaking through the container. How about you, Mr.
Jones.
Will you have a soda, Mr. Jones?
Oh, no. No thanks.
Say, you look kind of familiar to me.
Did I meet you at the last annual convention of the Secret Operatives Association in Wilkes-Barre, Pennsylvania?
Oh, no, 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 no. In fact, I've never been in Pennsylvania in my life.
I could have sworn I'd seen you somewhere.
Stop shaking, Wendy. You're perfectly safe.
Oh, no, no, Dick. I am kind of uneasy. I don't think I want to hang around here much longer.
You ought to be nervous. It'll serve you right to suffer a little bit.
Well, now, look. What you say about why not many men are making investments may be all very true. But after all, just between us two, maybe Gus doesn't know as much about this tax situation as you do. After all, you know, he hasn't had that money very long.
Well, he's had it long enough to find out that every other person in town is trying to sell him something.
All I can say is, if you can only get Gus to fix this thing up for us, I can face my fellow men again.
That'll be no treat for your fellow men.
Excuse me, gents. Say, mister, maybe it was at the orphans' Christmas party that I seen you. Didn't you have them whiskers powdered and play Santa Claus?
That guy never played Santa Claus in his life.
No, I can assure you. It must have been somebody else.
Well, it certainly beats me. Oh, well, anyhow, your mother-in-law and a friend are here, Mr. Collins, and I guess you'd better see them.
Oh, sure.
Oh, Dick, my poor boy. Miss Timmons and I have brought you some lovely calf's foot jelly. How do, Dick? My... mighty nice room they gave you, anyway.
Well, this is very nice of both of you, and I certainly appreciate it.
Why, William Winkle.
What?
What are you doing down here? And with that false beard.
Why, madam, there must be some mistake.
My name is Jones. Horace K. Jones from South Bend. In the insurance business. An old friend of Mr. Collins here.
Oh, now, don't you try to make it worse, Wendy, by lying. Huh? Well, I guess I know my own brother. William Winkle, I've been looking for you.
Oh, I knew I'd seen that guy before. And I know I'd heard that name before, too. It's on one of them wanted for fraud packets that we got hanging over in the post office. I'm going over there now and check up. And listen, you Winkle, don't you go running out of this jail before I get back. Understand?
You can't have him, officer. He's mine. I saw him first. Anyway, I'm suing him for breach of promise.
But, Letitia, I can explain.
I don't know nothing about that, lady. But I got an idea that this Winkle here is the guy we've been looking for a month now.
Oh, but, Mr. Grogan, there must be some mistake.
There ain't no mistake. And I'm going to keep you right in my sight until I serve the papers on you, Wendy. And I don't want the police locking you up where I can't get at.
Oh, this is terrible. My son-in-law is in jail and my only brother
is... gonna be in jail. Officially, I mean.
I seem to be the only one who isn't involved in any of this, wouldn't you all like to come in my cell and sort of sit down and talk it over? Better unlock the door, Grogan, and let everybody come in here.
Oh, no, I'm going to stay out here. Not enough room in there.
Gosh, I don't know what to do in a case like this. There's nothing in the detective's manual telling what you're supposed to do when a guy that you think is wanted and maybe a reward is up for is also wanted by some lady suing him for breach of promise.
Well, you needn't be so bothered, officer. I can tell you what to do. All you have to do is to hand him over to me.
Why, sure, that's right. And anyway, Officer Grogan, you're not sure that I'm the man you want. And you know there's a very severe penalty for false arrest.
Yeah, I know. Oh, well, just my luck. First chance I get to arrest maybe a real criminal, some dame hits me off.
What?
Say, I know what I'm going to do. Winkle, I'm going to take you across the street to the post office with me and look at that notice again.
Uh-huh.
If you don't fit the description, okay, then I'll hand you right over to this lady here. But if you do fit it, then you come right back with me to the cooler. Come on now, Winkle, get going.
You'll do no such thing, young man. I'll have law on you.
I want a lawyer. Where's my lawyer?
Get Lemuel B. Flotsam, Wendy. He's just the man for you.
It's pretty hard to say right at this point whether Wendy's going to spend the night in jail or not. He's gotten out of worse scrapes than this, however, and he may be able to find a way to elude the conscientious Grogan, and also to avoid the tenacious clutches of Letitia Timmons. Listen to our next program and see what happens. Until then, goodbye. The American Family Robinson, which is broadcast regularly over this station, is written by Douglas Silver and Marjorie Bartlett and produced by the National Industrial Council.